This is a replay of the Thursday night, July 31st WGN show. We started right at 10. If you don't hear yourself on it, it's because you didn't call. I hope you'll rectify that soon. We're live Monday through Thursday evenings from 10 to 1 Central. Dial 888-876-5593. My toll-free number from OneVoip. For the world's best customer service, it's OneVoip. Check them out at the number 1-VOIP.com. You'll be really glad you did.
Direct from the edge of the lunatic fringe, it's the Raleigh James Show.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. We have 3 hours to spend together. If it's on your mind, I'll make sure it's on mine. Until then, I'll just enthrall you with whatever is crossing my desk. All right, so to speak, as it were. Undoubtedly, you've heard about the warnings about be careful when you buy anything online. And it's never been more true than Facebook Marketplace, to say the least. We could tell you horror stories till the sun comes up again. But this one, in fact, has a happy ending. Though it is a little curious. So a couple sees on Facebook Marketplace a couch that they wanted to buy. And so they do, and they had to have it put on a truck and trucked to their home and all that, and they got it, and they set it up in the living room, and they were admiring the perfect fit, and they were sitting on it and enjoying it. And then at 3 a.m., things took a little turn. That's right. The new owners of the couch looked behind it. Now, exactly why they hadn't looked before, and I assume they did, but they didn't see what they saw this time. Now they're seeing an object moving. And it's a pretty big object, all things being equal. A furry animal starts to squirm its way out. Well, apparently this couch came with a cat. And so they think, all right, we'll just call the previous owners of the the couch to let them know we have their cat. And so they do, and the former owners say, we don't have a cat. So at that point, and by the way, it was a Russian blue, this wasn't a cheap cat, but apparently they tried in vain to locate an owner, and after that failed, they happily welcomed her into their home. That's right, they said they couldn't turn down an extra furry companion, even if they don't plan to sit on it. Yes, right, exactly, but they do plan to sit on the couch. So she's a beautiful, loving Russian blue. All righty then. And that's the deal with Facebook Marketplace. But it is, you know, we normally don't see animals crawl out of what we get, but there are tons of stories about buying things that are haunted. And I'll leave it to you if there's any truth to that or not, but enough stories that it should make you wonder. You might want to get a little information on what it is you're buying. And the deal is they're very pleased with their purchase. They never expected their couch to help with bugs and mice, but apparently the Russian blue is doing that and more. All right, so 888-876-5593-8888-Raleigh. Linda is in Richton Park. All right, Linda, welcome back to WGN Radio.
Hello, how are you? I'm trying to catch you right quick. I don't want to hold you up for a long time, but I was just wondering, could we discuss a gentleman? His name is Bill Easy. He's an old guy. He's still living, and he played all kind of instruments.
Okay, and, now, are you sure it's Easy? Because Bill Deasy was around in Pittsburgh.
Okay, it might be Bill Beebe. Right. He plays horns.
Okay, well, there was also a jazz musician, Bill Easley, E-A-S-L-E-Y, and he's a sax player mostly.
That's who I'm talking
okay,
about.
Okay, that's Bill Easley. All right. You betcha. He's a guy who worked with George Benson and Isaac Hayes, and he was a session player at Stax.
Right.
Yeah, what about him?
So, I just wanted to know, did you know about him? They say he's still living. He's almost 100.
I don't think so. I think this guy was born in the mid-40s. He was a Stax player, and I think he'd be about 79,
right.
Not about 100.
He might be 79, but he's still living because
he's alive.
Shows and everything.
Yeah, but he's alive.
He does a lot of shows.
I think he lives in New York now, but he was in Memphis in the throughout the 70s, and he was a studio guy at Stax, but he also played on a lot of stuff at High, like Ann Peebles and Al Green, stuff like that. So if that's the same guy, I guarantee you he's not close to 100.
Oh, all right. I had that wrong.
Okay. But, yeah, absolutely.
He's a sax player.
Yeah.
He seems like a genius. He can play a lot of different instruments.
Yep. Mostly on the sessions, it was like he played flute and sax and clarinet, you know, things like that.
Mm-hmm.
But he played with a lot of people. Like I say, he's on records with Ann Peebles and Al Green and George Benson and Isaac Hayes. But everybody, you know, from Jimmy McGriff to Grady Tate.
Right.
So, yeah.
He did a song from a movie. I can't think of the introductory. It was a beautiful song from a movie, Where Do We Go From Here or something.
Okay.
I don't know if that was the name of it or not. And then the last record he recorded was, I think it was I See You or something like that, Over There.
Yeah, he's done a lot of things. I mean, you know, his discography, and of course, if you talk about what he was doing, that he was, you know, backing people, whether it was, you know, Ruth Brown or whoever, a ton of material. So yeah, he's well known as far as that goes. Yeah,
yeah. I listen to him about 3 hours, just different music. And I would ask Alexa, what was that song? And they would tell me what it was, and they said it was from movies.
Okay.
Evidently, he did music for introductions to movies and stuff.
Oh, I wouldn't doubt it. You know, again, he was he's alive, you know, very much a working musician. So you're gonna see him in everything. But, yeah, he had albums under his own name as well. And, he's fairly well known.
Yeah, because he had mentioned he did a lot of music for Stax.
Yes.
Records, so
well, that's what I'm saying. He played on a lot of those sessions where he wouldn't be necessarily credited, but behind everybody. If you're talking the 70s, he probably was on most of the output off Stax.
Right, that's what he was saying.
Yeah, oh yeah.
I was just asking about him. I said he seems like a very interesting fella. So let me talk with Riley, see if she's familiar with him.
Yeah, it was a studio guy in Memphis for years, but I'm pretty sure that he moved back to New York a while ago, and he's still playing. As far as I know, he's got a website, I think. You know, I could look that up. But yeah, and he's got a bunch of CDs for sale. So sure, he's around.
Okay, well, I just thought I'd ask you a little more about it. I don't want to hold you, though, so I'm going to let you...
Well, good to hear from you always. All right, thanks.
Yeah, all right.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Yeah, and I mean, he played on everybody's session. Denise LaSalle or, you know, Etta James and Etta Jones, different person. And you name it, Jimmy McGriff, a lot of Jimmy McGriff stuff. And Ruth Brown, you of course, Rufus Thomas. But, you know, we're talking Stax. You can't talk Stax without Rufus Thomas. All right, so yeah, Bill Easley. Most of the studio guys are unsung heroes. You know, it's only rarely that you you find out who some of them are, because a lot of them never put out stuff under their own name. But they're working musicians, and they do very well. Now, unfortunately, Doesn't matter whether they play on a hit or a flop, their session fee is going to be the same. They're not going to get a piece of the action in most cases if something, you know, becomes a giant hit. So there you have it. So we have a giant baseball with 6,750 signatures, and it's back in New York. It started in Indianapolis and went to 15 stadiums, and what it was a tour of minor league baseball stadiums, which have a very soft place in my heart, because I think that today the majors, you know, let's face it, it's expensive, period. You know, they're all about their corporate boxes and all that. But if you want an affordable day for the family and getting to know players who are usually very gracious, minor league ball is the way to go, period. And so here was an 8-foot in diameter replica baseball that started in Indianapolis at Victory Field, the Indianapolis Indians, don't you know, went to 15 minor league ballparks before it got to the Major League Ball flagship store, actually, this week in New York. And Guinness came by and verified it, that they were 6,750 verified signatures on the surface. When I first saw that, I thought, there aren't that many players. No, they're fan signatures. Okay, well, what do I know? And this breaks the record, because previously 2,146 signatures by the Cambridge United Football Club last year when it gathered fans to sign a giant inflatable jersey. Well, this tops that by a country mile. All right, so 888-876-5593. All the bumpers tonight will be your requests, and some of them from a while ago. You might not have even remembered you requested it. In some cases, I remember who did, and in other cases, I just wrote down the song. But either way, some are really good, and then there is the Thompson Hoods. All right, I didn't say that. All right, so we'll get to them all, and hopefully your calls on WGN Radio. WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. That's for Fran. Needle in the Haystack on Motown subsidiary VIP in 1964, and Mickey Stevenson wrote it. All right. Well, a fine song. Glad she requested. All right. Melvin is a first-time caller, and he is in Hazelcrest, Illinois. Melvin, welcome to WGN Radio.
Thank you. My question was, you say one of the original drifters still living, and he was 97 years old. Is he still living?
You're talking from the Clyde McFadder days, the truly original drifters, and I don't know of any of them who are living. That's a great question.
Okay.
Sadly, there may be. Of course, you know, that group of drifters, George Treadwell fired them, kept the name, and then hired the next group of drifters, which was Benny King. But in that first group, man, I'm trying to think of who could possibly. There were so many people in and out, but of the very original, I don't think so. But I'll be happy. Okay. I'll be happy to try to look that up. But I don't think so. You know, the Drifters was created basically for Clyde McFadder's voice. You know, Atlantic heard Clyde McFadder, and it was very different from the bass singers of like the Ravens and things like that. And he'd done very well with Billy Ward and the Dominoes. So Ahmet Erdogan heard him and said, "Man, I really want to do something with him." And so they got a number of things. Originally, they got people from his church, the Mount Lebanon Singers, and that, you know, some of them stayed around. But in any event, that wasn't too good. But then Bill Pinkney. Now, I don't think Bill Pinkney's alive. Think about this. So Andrew Thrasher and Gerhard Thrasher, and Willie Ferbey and Walter Adams. That would be the originals. Now I'd have to, and I know that off the top of my head, but I don't think so. I would assume that the last one would have been Bill Pinkney, but I don't think he's still alive. Let's look. I hope he is. That'd be wonderful, but I don't think so.
Okay.
We're looking. All right, Bill Pinkney. No, he died in 2007, and he was the last. He was the last of the original Drifters. I know that because he wound up doing a lot of beach music things. You always see him in North Carolina and all that. And back when he was on stage there, like 20 or so years ago, he was always billed as the last living. So I don't think from the original. But again, when you're talking about the Drifters, they had so many members, it's practically a phone book.
Okay.
You know, I mean, I don't know if you're aware of that, but there's probably 50 people easily, and more than that if we count the second group of Drifters.
Okay.
So yeah, I don't think so. Now the next question is, who's left from the second group of Drifters? And I don't, like I say, there's so many people. But when their manager, when George Treadwell went and found the Five Crowns, which became the second group of Drifters, let's see if I can get a list of who those originals were. And for a while, as you know, it was crazy. Half of the people who'd ever been Drifters were touring as Drifters on the oldies circuit and all that. But yeah, the Five Crowns, so that would be Benny King, Charlie Thomas, Doc Green, and Ellsbury Hobbs. I don't think so. There wasn't, by the way, I know it's the Five Crowns, and I only mentioned four people, but the fifth guy was a drunk, and they didn't include him. But anyway, so that's how there were only four, but there were five originally. But I don't think Charlie Thomas is still with us. I think he died a couple years ago, and he probably would be the last to die of that second group of Drifters, because I'm pretty sure Doc Green and Ellsbury Hobbs were gone before that. So why are we asking?
I thought I heard you say. I wasn't for sure. Then my last question, Larry Lujak, the disc jockey from Chicago, is he still alive?
Which, I'm sorry, I didn't get. Which one?
Larry Lujak.
Oh, no. He's a disc jockey. Yeah, I remember Larry very well. We had a very good mutual friend. Larry died in New Mexico, and that's been quite a while ago now, and he had cancer. But he was great. I loved Lujak, and he was originally on the air in Spokane and places like that. Hang on a minute. Don't go away. Stay where you are. We got the news and more coming up on WGN Radio. We'll be right back. WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. Yeah, I could listen all 7 minutes of that. The Gigolo. It's my second favorite Lee Morgan record, Sidewinder, being the first. But that's the one, the Gigolo, that Eduardo requested. So 1965, it was recorded for Blue Note, but the album, the Gigolo, came out in 1968. 3 years, I don't know what delayed it, but glad we got it eventually. So we're talking to Melvin, a first-time caller. Are you still with us, Melvin?
Yes, I'm still here.
Oh, good. Oh, good. So I looked up the second group of drifters, and the last one to leave us was Charlie Thomas, and that was in 2023.
Okay.
So all of them, as far as anybody who was with the original of the first or the second group, and I don't even know of any replacements. Now, of course, the second group was interesting because when George Treadwell fired the first group, and of course Clyde McFatter had been long gone, he gets the five crowns, but it was a very weird deal because they had a manager before this, and he wound up getting all of them except Benny King. And the ultimate deal was Benny King could record on the records, but his manager, who was not Treadwell, would not allow him to tour. So whenever you saw the second group of drifters, you didn't see Benny King. And of course, you didn't see any of the first group of drifters. So for a while there, fans were not pleased.
Yes.
So that's the story.
All right. Thank you.
I'm glad you called, and I hope you will again.
All right, thank you.
Thanks, Melvin.
You have a good show.
Thanks, appreciate
all
that.
Right. All right,
so good to hear from Melvin. Yeah, we were talking last night about that. When he hired the Five Crowns, it was a real problem because he could fire the Drifters, the first group. There was no problem because he owned the name. But he had a year's worth of dates to, you know, that he'd signed for concerts and all that, but now he has no group. So he has to get the second group of Drifters who he sends out. And, you know, I've talked before about that tour through the South that was hilarious. We were talking about that last night with Johnny Goen about how they accidentally locked Screamin' Jay Hawkins' coffin on stage. And you know, all hell broke loose. But in any event, after all that, it turned out to be pretty auspicious. But, you know, when Benny King was on tour, he wrote There Goes My Baby. And, of course, Lieber and Stoller were involved with producing that and, you know, had not only, you know, they say it's the first record with strings. That's really not true. But it had a decided almost Latin flavor to it. And Jerry Wexler hated it, which didn't surprise me at least. But Ahmed Erdogan said, no, it's going to be released. And it was, of course, and the rest is history. All right. So Eduardo in Tampa, welcome back to WGN Radio.
Hey, Raleigh, I was going to talk to you about a couple of things. Maybe I'll get into something that I cannot get in iHeart anymore. I don't know what happened.
But, you mean the podcasts they have?
Well, you know, I like listen to KFI.
Yeah.
I was testing other stations, and for some reason, the last couple of hours, I can't get in.
Really? I never actually try this, but I'm going to try this right now.
On iHeart. And,
yeah, right now. I'm going there right now. And let's look for Los Angeles, right? Come on, Los Angeles, you're a big city. All right, there we are. And here we are. We got Coast and Kiss and K-Rock and K-Earth and The Wave and The Real 90 KFI. All right. So let's see what's going to happen here. More stimulating talk. They've been using that slogan since 1983. All right, so let's see.
When you're younger, you
I'm getting the pre-roll commercial, as you can hear. We'll, yeah, this ad will end in 23 seconds. Not soon enough for me. All right, so I don't know how you people put up with this. You know, when you listen to my stream, you do not get pre-rolls. You just get me. But let's see what we're going to get after this pre-roll. And hopefully it's not another commercial. They're telling me no purchase is necessary for whatever it is they want me to do. All right, so let's see. Let's see what happens now. Oh, that's interesting. I sit through the pre-roll and then I...
To ensure you have the right access to future sporting events, please ensure your location services are enabled on your mobile device. For help, visit...
I don't know what this is.
Thanks again for listening to the iHeartRadio app. For all your music, radio, and podcast,
it just started today.
Yeah, I don't know.
You're currently outside the approved area to stream this play-by-play.
I'm currently outside of the approved area to hear this play-by-play, but I didn't think they had any play-by-play on KFI. Did you? I don't think so. I was geofenced out of it just now. But why, as far as that goes? I don't know. But they geo-fenced me out, but I don't think there's any sports happening on it. I could actually, I could actually turn on a radio here and hear them. So maybe I'll do that during the news and I'll let you know.
Yeah, I thought that's a pretty interesting little mini thing you might want to comment on the air later on.
Yeah, I have no idea. As far as KFI, I can, like I say, I can hear them live, so I don't listen to any apps or anything like that. But I have no idea. But yes, I don't think I should be geo-fenced out. But it seems like that is the deal. They also want me to have a free account. No, I don't want an account. All right. Well, good luck on that. I'll see what I can do.
Yeah. So Michael Feinstein, John was saying he was on NPR. I think he was on
Minnesota.
Chicago stations.
Yeah, he was on Chicago stations, but he was on Minnesota public radio too, as well as that goes.
He had like a Saturday morning audience.
Yeah, it was a terrific show. I loved it. As far as that goes, and I don't know why, and I think it was live from of all places, Madison, Wisconsin.
I think you're right.
Yeah. And that was on free. I loved that show. So I don't know what happened to that. It was just terrific. So I'm looking him up,
He's from Columbus.
Yeah, right.
Started playing piano bear early.
Well, now apparently NPR has a series. Michael Feinstein uncovers the intimate journey singers and songs take one another. All right, so not the same show, that's for sure, but I loved his old show. So I don't know.
Yeah, I remember that, yeah.
Yeah, but it's been gone a while.
Saturday mornings, yeah.
Yeah, that was a while ago. And so he's now on the air with something called Song Travels. So
the Great American Songbook is what they had on PBS.
That kind of thing. So, but I'm trying to think of, forget about Song Travels. What was it? He had a name for this show, and I don't remember what it was. I want to say Wait, Don't Tell Me, but that's different.
He was helping out Gershwin, right?
I don't know. I don't know what the heck the name of this was, but anyway, this says that it's okay. All right, it aired from 2012 to 2015, so I don't know.
Okay.
I absolutely don't know. So there you go.
Yeah.
And I don't think that it's the same guy as the one who's doing this, who did this songbook thing. I don't think so. I think I know exactly who you mean, and I don't think so. Now I have to look at this. I'll let you know. I won't waste your time now trying to go down memory lane to figure out why I'm not thinking of it, but I know just who you mean.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then just one more thing. You're not, I'm sure they'll be talking about this on Coast to Coast, but you're not worried about those wasps that got radioactive, right?
No. Radioactive wasps? No. I don't know why not. Yes, discovered near an old nuclear weapons site. Well, where I'm sitting, we're downwinders. We're the area where the nuclear tests wound up. And so the government actually has an office right downtown here. And if you have one of like 15 kinds of cancer, they just write you a check for $50,000. If you can prove you were here. But yes, a radioactive wasp nest with radiation 10 times of what's allowable. That's still not, by the way, a lot of radiation. So I can't imagine.
That's good.
Yeah, I'm not too concerned to say.
I won't be seeing any giant wasp anytime soon then.
No.
Okay.
No, I think you're safe all the way around. But from the legacy radioactive contamination, I think you're safe. But I'll try to check it out now. I believe even though a lot of stuff was found in New Mexico, I believe that these wasps were found at a site near South Carolina somewhere.
South Carolina, right?
Yeah, right. You're right. So I don't know. I guess that facility in Aiken produced parts for weapons, so
okay.
And that'd be like the 50s. I think it was plutonium was what was there, and and I think that plant is still in operation. I don't know if they're still doing plutonium, but I'm pretty sure that plant is still there. The bottom line is, wasps are not big travelers. They only fly like, you know, a couple hundred miles from the, you know, a couple hundred miles from their nest or something. It's not a lot of it. So
They won't be jumping to Florida then. Okay, that's
no,
too far.
No, you are absolutely safe. Wasps do not do that. They're not big travelers. I think you are safe. And so and I know that there was that Savannah River deal, and it was like tons of nuclear liquid nuclear waste and all that. And so, yeah, I'm sure it comes from that. I'm not worried.
Oh, that's great. Yeah. That's great news.
Yeah, I don't worry. Absolutely. But, it makes for a nice story.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
All right. Well,
okay,
good deal.
Riley.
And
I hope Comic-Con this weekend. Here in Tampa.
Really? Okay. There's a Comic-Con in Tucson at the end of August that we're going to go to, but a Comic-Con in Tampa. Who are the headliners?
This weekend, yep.
Who are the headliners?
I saw on Fox 13 here that Lou Ferrigno is going to be there.
Okay.
Mr. Incredible Hulk, yeah.
All right. So, a good deal. That'll be at the Tampa Bay Comic Convention. Comic-Con.
Yeah, downtown, yep.
And, they'll have people from Star Wars and Lord of the Rings and stuff. You know, the usual group of people. But good. All right. Well, that'll be a fine time. You should go.
Yeah, I wish they would have had George Lucas, because I know he was over there in L.A.
Well, that's a little closer for him. But
yeah.
So, all right. Good
deal.
Yeah,
I'll tell you next week how it went.
Yes, I will look forward to that. Thank you.
Thank you, Riley. Okay, have a good weekend.
All right, you too. So, I think Catherine Bell is going to be there. There's a number of people. So the Comic-Cons are fun. All right, so 888-876-5593, 8888-Raleigh. We'll get to Bob in Wisconsin. We'll get to Laura in Willowbrook, and we'll get to you, and we'll get to another request coming up. Yeah, I don't remember if it was Billy Bob or who, but we were talking about Bob Cuban and the cheater, and I said, well, there's a follow-up, kind of sounded alike, but I kind of liked it. He said, well, play that. So whoever you are, the teaser is coming up next on WGN Radio.
She is just a teaser. Why I fell for her is something I don't know. Please her, how I try to please her, but she only led me on, then let me go. No, I didn't lose her, 'cause I never really had her from the start. Chooser, I was a fool to choose her. Yes, I must admit I wasn't very smart. Tease. That's all that she'll ever be. Steal your heart, then depart. And don't take a lesson from me. She'll be sorry. Yes, I know that someday she'll be sorry. And I know that she will find someone whose love she will prefer.
WGN Radio, I'm Raleigh James. Okay, so that was the follow-up, the teaser, Bob Cuban and the Inman. And I don't remember who it was, but I always like the harmonies in that for some reason. All right, so anyway, there you have it. And, of course, lead singer is Walter Scott, who sadly was murdered by his next-door neighbor and his cheating wife. Right, and found in the septic tank. Yeah, we've talked about that. All right, so we've got Bob in Wisconsin. Welcome to WGN Radio.
Hi, Raleigh. I have some questions I've always wondered about how records are actually constructed, the role of the producer, the writer, the performer. Who makes the decisions as far as, you know, which member of the recording group might do the singing, which parts are put in, the orchestration, who actually makes those decisions?
The producer has, now by the way, things have changed over the years. In my experience is 50s, 60s, and early 70s, all right? So what you have today is you have a lot of people who are writing their own stuff, and some of them even producing their own stuff, so it's very different. But originally, when we're talking about, you know, the top 40 hits we liked, or the soul hits we liked, the 60s and all that, the producer's king, as far as that goes. But whether or not the group is even on the record is open to debate. Most of the producers have their favorites in studio musicians, who they pick as far as that goes. Very often the group will be on it but may not be playing anything or what have you. It varies. Sometimes you have arrangers as well, and that's a factor. But you know, as far as who is king, it is the buck stops with the producer. Now, if the producer is working for the label, the chances are good that he's got a position in A&R, meaning that he's going to be able to take the shot and say what's going to be released. If he's not, if he's an independent producer or whatever, the label will decide what's going to be released and how. And, you know, in the past, you had like a Columbia Records. I worked at Epic, so I'm very familiar with Columbia and Epic. But, you know, they'd release things quarterly, usually 20 singles at a time in country anyway, and, you know, albums as well. But as far as what songs were coming from the albums, that was an A&R choice. And, of course, if it's an in-house producer, it's his choice.
So if you had a group like, say, the Rascals or the Association, where you had multiple people in there who could do lead vocals, who would decide who would do the lead vocals?
Well, obviously the group would have a say in it as well. It probably wouldn't be dictatorial. Part of it has to do with what did their contract dictate. You know, the more clout you have when you're signed to a label, the more control you have over your destiny.
Mm-hmm. The one you always hear about is Simon and Garfunkel, Bridge Over Troubled Waters, where Paul Simon wrote it, but the producer said, no, Art Garfunkel's going to sing it.
Yeah, and that, and of course, you know, at that point with Bridge Over Troubled Water, I mean, yes, they already had some hits and all that, but I could see where the producer of that would make that call.
Okay, now my other question is concerning who gets paid what.
Well, that's contractual. And one of the biggest scams are the contracts for artists. Truly big scam. Now, firstly, as far as all the studio musicians, that's union. And so, you know, depending on whether they're in Nashville or New York or L.A., that's going to be a union gig most of the time, almost always in those cities. All right. But as far as the artists, the big scam in the music business was always that you would be charged your expenses against your royalties. And why this matters is, let's say you're an up-and-coming group, but there have been two albums that were just dogs, they didn't do anything, and maybe six singles out of them, and nobody went ahead and really bought them. And then by the time the third album comes around, now you're a big hit, right? Well, you don't get any money from that until all the expenses for those first couple albums and singles are paid. And so you can wind up with a million selling records and not be getting a dime. It depends how that's done. And, you know, again, I would hope in today's time that artists are a little more savvy, because it's a very different business. But originally, there were a lot of artists who got nothing. And if you're going back further, by the way, to the days of the independent labels and, you know, the George Goldners and Morris Levers of the world and all that, they never expected to pay anybody royalties, and they didn't. Their logic was, well, they'll make their money touring. If they have a hit record, they get more for their performances, so they should be grateful to us, right? You know, that logic.
So what happens when you've got Frankie Valli or Diana Ross and they sort of become the focal point
okay.
of the group?
Yeah, well,
does the money change then?
Yes and no, but there's a lot of other things that change too, and we're going to talk about that. So I got to do the news first, so don't go away. Stay where you are, and we'll talk about that. And VJ was famous for that, by the way, of pulling, well, you know that from Jerry Butler and many others. Gene Chandler, you know, the Duques did Duke Earl. Yeah, they were surprised when it was released as Gene Chandler. All right, so we'll pick all of that up. It's kind of interesting. We'll talk to Bob from Willowbrook. We got Laura in Bob's in Wisconsin, sorry. Laura is in Willowbrook. We'll get there, too. And Jim in Richmond, and there's room for you. We got two more hours tonight. Oh, yes, on this Mercury retrograde night, and we're at Kazemi. I'll explain that, too, coming up on
Summertime, and the living is easy. Catfish are jumping, and the cotton is high. Your daddy's rich, and your mama's good looking. Hush, little baby. Honey, don't you cry. One of these mornings, you're gonna rise up singing. Gonna spread out your wings and take to the sky. Until that day, can hush up your crying. Your daddy and your mama standing by.
WGN Radio, I'm Raleigh James, and that's it. Doc Watson last night got a call, said, will you play some Doc Watson? So I write that down, but once again, I forget to write down who requested it. My apologies about that. But a fine, fine song. It is 1972 on Poppy for the single. It was an album as well. And he redid that several times, but that was the single version. I thought it was a great song. All right, so 888-876-5593. We're talking to Bob in Wisconsin about what happens when someone is suddenly taken from a group, either removed entirely or placed up front. And usually that is a label decision. And, you know, sometimes it's done with the approval and cooperation of the other group members. Other times it's done in spite of them.
I kind of figured it was one of those where it's like take it or leave it. You can leave the group. She's staying.
Well, if you're talking about Diana Ross, of course, what muddied the water further was she was having an affair with Berry Gordy.
Right.
And so there was a personal dynamic in that, too. In other cases, like I say, the Duques, and to be fair, Gene Chandler was just as blindsided. When Duke of Earl came out and said it was Gene Chandler, that was as much of a surprise to him as it was the rest of the Duques. Because when it was recorded, of course, it was recorded as a group. But it's not unusual. And sometimes you'll see lead singers who are absolutely leaving groups entirely, and you'll very often see them and still singing with groups. And like I was saying with the Drifters, on the Drifters contract, when they had that second group of Drifters with Benny King was on the records, but he didn't tour with them. So, you know, these are contractual things, and
right.
Almost always the record company is in charge, unless it's somebody who has the kind of clout to call the shots. So,
well, like the other one I think of is Frankie Valli, who...
Right.
Started doing his own records, but
right.
Stayed with the Four Seasons.
Absolutely. And, you know, and it's not lost on me, that was VJ, too. They had the propensity for doing that, although I will say it was probably more when they were on Phillips. But yeah, that occurs, you know, fairly regularly. And
Wouldn't you think that leads to some hard feelings with the other, the background people?
Well, again, these situations are as different as people are different. You know, at times they're... you know, it's with everybody's blessing. And at other times, especially like in that Diana Ross thing, if there's a personal element as well, that's going to lead to all sorts of consternation, of course.
Right.
So, you know, it varies. But if you're looking for a set of rules, oh, there are no rules. And the big thing is when an act first signs, that act has virtually no clout. And so those first contracts, man, they're never in your favor.
And how long are those contracts?
Well, that varies, too. It depends what's going on. And then if you have a manager, sometimes he's very much involved in this. For instance, when the Penguins had Earth Angel, and it was such a big hit on Dootsie's label, you know, Mercury wanted him. Mercury wanted him in the worst way. And Buck Ram, their manager, said, well, you can't have the Penguins unless you take the Platters, period. And so, reluctantly, Mercury took the Platters. And you know the rest of the story. The Penguins never had another hit, and the Platters had hit after hit after hit. So
there is a hilarious video. The two guys that are the Turtles, Flo and Eddie, they do about a five-minute video that explains their history with four different managers.
Yeah.
And they do it on a whiteboard, and it's just hilarious because they're sued by various companies, they owe various managers, they're not making any money.
Well, and they sue people too, and they're very very much involved in getting their royalties no matter who they screw.
Right.
And I'm not a fan. I will say that you would never hear a Turtles record on a station.
Well, the music you may not like, the video.
No. What I'm saying is I wouldn't believe a word out of their mouths.
Okay. One last question.
Yeah.
Is it true that in the long run, the guy that makes the most off the records is the writer?
Oh, well, contractually, but let me say there's a big but here, and that is the publisher is the most important part of this story, because the writer and the publisher, of course, they split the royalties. The royalties are set in stone. Now, that's great, but the publisher's the one who is going to handle this and pay the writer. What if the publisher doesn't pay the writer? And you're saying, does that happen? Well, just ask Little Richard when Art Roop was the publisher of his stuff on Specialty. You know, Art Roop got the money and didn't hand too much of it over. But contractually, yes. There, back in the day, it was 2 cents per selection per side. And, you know, you hoped you got an accurate accounting of how many were sold.
Yeah. So who ends up, you know, in today's dollars, you see who are the very, very, very rich musical performers.
It's a whole different world, and like I say,
okay.
it's not my world. Firstly, you know, I come from a day when it was vinyl, all vinyl, you know, and then there were also 8 tracks and later cassettes. But today you look at royalties and it's no longer hard copies. It's not CDs or any piece of it's not even downloads, which is the interesting part. Today the bulk of the money comes from streaming. And now you've got a whole different equation because you've got sound exchange in the mix, which is enabled through Congress, unfortunately. And this is where the little guy gets screwed tremendously, because the guy who's sitting in Wisconsin who just wants to play polkas online, he's having to pay the same kind of royalty structure as if he had an FCC license. You know, it's crazy.
Yeah, the name I'm thinking of is like Paul Anka.
Well,
fabulously wealthy. Is it from his writing money?
Well, no. His writing money, of course, but remember, he wrote the Tonight Show theme.
Right.
And so every time Johnny Carson got on the air, he got paid. So, yeah, you write something that's going to be used that way, of course you're going to be fabulously wealthy. But if you're a successful writer and you're working with a publisher who is honest and reputable, or if you're your own publisher, yeah, that's guaranteed money. Guaranteed money.
All right. Well, thanks for clearing some of that stuff up. It's, you know, people like me sit and listen to this stuff, and I start thinking about how does this all work?
Well, it's clear as mud. And again, back in the Wild West days of the 50s and early 60s, we're talking it was a singles market. There wasn't any big money to begin with. There were no rules, and most of the acts never saw a cent. You know, like Barbara Lewis wrote Hello, Stranger. She didn't get money until the 1990s. She wound up as a maid in Orlando for years. And so, you know, and she wrote the damn thing. But unfortunately, her publisher's Ollie McLaughlin, she just didn't get the money. So, you know, the stories are legendary, but today it's big business, it's different business, and you'd have to talk with someone about 50 years younger than me who could explain it to you.
All right. Well, I appreciate what I got from you.
All right. Thanks. Good to talk to you. Appreciate
you.
It. Okay, bye. All right. So, yeah, I don't, you know, we'll joke about that sometimes when something will come up, and I'm like, I don't even want to know. Do not tell me. All right, it's just that simple. All right, so 888-876-5593. And David in Winthrop Harbor. Okay, David, it was you who wanted to hear Doc Watson. So good, I'm glad you did.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay.
Thank you.
My pleasure. He did that a few times. You know, and I thought that was, you know, just divine.
Yeah, yeah. How to explain this? I think so. Do you know anything about his history? I know he was blind. He played, and I believe he was born blind. And you might want to fact check me on this. He lost his vision, but I think he's a musical prodigy. He's passed now.
Yeah, he had.
I think he's wonderful.
I think he lost his vision when he was about 2 years old. It was an infection. And
yeah.
He went to Moorhead in Raleigh, as far as that goes. And
I got a little throw in real quick, a caveat here. So I did the Blue Ridge Parkway. I took a road trip where does that start? Down in Tennessee and drove it all the way up to Pennsylvania.
Okay.
The Blue Ridge Park, you know, great drive.
Yeah, no, many times, yes. Many times. Yeah,
no billboards.
Right, right. Well, yeah,
anyway,
I kind of like billboards, by the way, but you go through Blowing Rock and everywhere else, yes, of course.
Yeah, yeah. So in North Carolina, they have a little... kind of on that route, a little tribute to Doc Watson, museum almost, so to speak. But yeah, I think he's fat. He is North Carolina in the Piedmont region, I believe.
No, it's the Blue Ridge. It's the Blue Ridge Music Center.
Not the flat. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, it's the Blue Ridge Music Center. It's on the Parkway. And they do a lot of stuff. I think they had Doc at 100, and that was a couple of years ago. Usually Boone. It's right by Boone, North Carolina. Mile marker 213. Why would I remember that? I don't know. But anyway, that's well known as far as that. So yeah, the Blue Ridge Music Center.
But I believe the Lord created Doc Watson to play music, and he has an album. And I think it was Vanguard, called Songs for the Little Ones.
Yeah, no, he had three albums on Vanguard. And,
for kids.
Yeah, a lot of stuff.
Yeah. Anyway, appreciate it.
Happy to do it.
But, yeah, I think he's such a talent, and
the list of people with whom we never hear is just endless. Yeah. Absolutely
and
endless.
And that's because he never was commercialized, so to speak.
Well,
you know, for the most part, he was pretty much in, like, I would say, like, Newport.
Well, there's a lot of people who are not going to be commercial. Some by choice, some not by choice. You know, when we were talking.
I don't think he wanted it.
Right, that's what we were talking last night about that. When we were discussing why all of a sudden it's leaving me. But Buddy Guy, Guy was like, you know, I tried to figure out how to do that. But bottom line is, commercial success as far as mainstream radio, that was always going to elude him, and that's not unusual.
And the Mexicans, they didn't want the Nova because it was a no-go.
Well, right. You see, I always contend. Now, GM swears it's not true, and they'll go out of their way to say, well, Nova, there's a space between it. In our car, there's no space. So, no, that didn't happen. No, absolutely, it happened. All right. So,
thanks.
Thanks.
Peace. Bye-bye. Thank you.
Yeah, indeed. And 888-876-5593. Okay, well, I'm glad that we cleared that up. And, yeah, Solomon Burke's coming up next. And, you know, this is another thing where I have it written down. In fact, just last night, it was like, you going to play that? I was, well, yeah. Just out of reach. Of course I am. I don't remember who requested it. But hopefully they're listening to WGN Radio.
Just out of reach. Won't let me be. Blues that keeps on bothering me. Chains that just won't set me free. Too far away from you and all your charms. So blue and all alone, so far away from you, so sweet and warm.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James, and yes, absolutely, that's Solomon Burke. In fact, it was actually his first hit single, and that was, I wrote that down. Herb actually wanted to hear that, I think. No, that was Lou Rawls he wanted to hear. I don't remember who wanted to hear Solomon Burke, but Just Out of Reach was an interesting song that surprised the heck out of Solomon Burke, because he got a contract from Atlantic. And he shows up for the first recording session right there at 1841 Broadway. And this is like the end of December of 1960 or so. And he's given four songs, and they're country. And one of them is Just Out of Reach of My Two, and for him it's My Two Empty Arms, but actually the song was Just Out of Reach of My Two Open Arms. But regardless, it was a Pappy Stewart record that had been a minor hit for Farron Young, and later Patsy Cline had it. So Burke did it, as you heard, and walked out there thinking, well, I guess I'm not going to be on Atlantic for too long. You know, he's thinking, this is the greatest R&B label in the world, and they're giving me country songs to sing. What are they trying to tell me? And there was a quote he had, say, I started out as a cowboy on Atlantic without a horse. I was only singing cowboy with a corned beef and pastrami sandwich on white with mayo. And exactly. But he did it, obviously, and it became his first hit, and probably the biggest hit of that song, as far as that goes. But the interesting thing is he could pretty much do it in any way. I mean, Solomon Burke, and initially good old Jerry Wexler doesn't like it. And that said, Paul Ackerman and others said, shut up, Jerry, you know, and they go ahead and they release it, and of course it does well. So that's the deal. It was released in 1961, and it sold. I think it was, not only was it Burke's first hit, but also it sold over a million copies. So there you have it. All right, so I wonder who requested that. Laura is in Willowbrook. Welcome to WGN Radio. You still with us, Laura?
I am, Raleigh. Oh, thank you. My gosh.
Yeah, what's up?
Yes, last time I talked to you, my battery died, so otherwise I would have waited.
Okay.
Oh, my gosh, the fast food industry. Mm. I know you're an expert on a lot, so I just need your opinion, okay?
Uh-oh.
Are you more of a, do you do fast food dining at all?
Well, sure, you know, I certainly will go through the drive-thru at McDonald's, because you can get large Cokes for a dollar. And no matter what size drink, they're a dollar where I am. And so I do that. But hang on a minute. John says I have to shut up. So don't go away. Stay where you are, and we'll pick it up right after the news right here on WGN Radio. Mm-hmm. Radio. I'm Raleigh James. So Billy Bob and Bourbonnais said, I want to hear Roy Orbison do Oh, What a Thrill. And I thought to myself, okay, maybe he's found something I haven't. So I did research it. No, that Roy Orbison never did that song. It's the Mavericks, and that's who you heard. But it certainly is reminiscent of Roy Orbison. But that is the Mavericks, 1994 on MCA. Now we're talking to Laura in Willowbrook about fast food. So, yeah, the dollar large Cokes at McDonald's. Yeah, I know there's high fructose corn syrup, but so what? So I'll go that far. Now, I also will often, if I have to, you know, if I'm just starving, I'll have, you know, French fries, no salt, so they'll cook them fresh. But I'm not about to eat things that I can't explain, like McNuggets.
Okay, that makes sense. Are you just a drive-thru or you ever dine in?
Oh, yeah. No, it depends. Sure, either way. And, you know, for a while, I did eat something I couldn't explain. I just loved it. And that was Jack-in-the-Box tacos. I knew they were garbage, but I started getting progressively sick after them. And after several months of them, John finally said, are you ready to give this up? And I thought, yeah, I guess so. But, oh, man, they're good. But so yeah. Sure. And then, you know, not all fast food is created equal. Some's better than others. I wish there was someone who went back to beef tallow with the fries near me, but there isn't. But, you know, sure. What are you thinking about here?
Well, the experience I had at a fast food, I'm like, oh, my gosh, I couldn't believe it. And it snowballed. The snowball started at the top, and it just kept rolling down, and one thing after another. I ordered a package that's supposed to come with four hamburgers. So I says, and don't ever order something different than what the menu says. Four hamburgers with ketchup and cheese. And I says, and two... Okay, let me erase. Number one. Two of the hamburgers with ketchup and cheese, and two of the hamburgers plain. And also, could you put the two plain in a separate bag? Oh, my God, you think I ordered from China or something.
Right.
It was supposed to be like 9-something. I looked at the bill. He says 12-something. I said, okay, wait a minute. How did this get to $12? Well, your package is $9, but you add 40 cents for each cheese. And then you said you wanted two extra hamburgers. I said, I never said I wanted two extra hamburgers. I said I wanted them in a separate bag. So I wound up with 6 burgers.
Oh, I wouldn't have taken them at that point. I said, no, we're going to start over.
Yes, so that's what I did. So that's the first problem. And I'm figuring, okay, fast food places, I think nobody wants to work there anymore. So they're always looking for help. It seems like every time I go to a fast food place, it's their first day on the job. So... if that wasn't bad enough, I says, well, you know, I says, I went to go get soda. I says, well, the soda machine is out of Coke.
Oh, yeah.
Well, I says, well, can you fill it? Well, we're not filling it till the morning. I says, what do you mean you're not? Well, at 2 o'clock, we don't fill it anymore. It's like, well, it has to wait till the next day. I says, how the heck can you, what? You have nothing else? You're so busy you can't fill the machine. Well, after a certain point, we don't fill it till the next day. I'm like, okay.
I would have driven off about then. I would. There's no way. No, I wouldn't have been there. Period.
They're like, well, yeah, and then they're like, well, we could give you the food. We could give you the soda from behind the counter here. I'm like, okay. And I says, so do you not know that the machine is out of soda? Oh no, I didn't know. I says, what do you mean you didn't know? Then to top it off, okay, I wanted to get the napkins and the soda are in the same spot. So I went to get napkins. Napkins are all gone. So I thought, okay, well, a lot of people were here. They're running out of napkins. So they didn't fill it. So I go up to the counter. I says, okay, next thing, you have the napkins are out. Oh, well, we don't have any more. We expect a shipment tomorrow. I said, what? What kind of management is it here that doesn't even know you're running out of napkins and you're out of napkins? I'm a customer. What am I supposed to do when I'm eating my food? Well, oh, well, we have paper towels we could give you. I said, well, you sure are going to. But I says, well, if you know the napkins are out, why didn't you just automatically put paper towels on the tray? So, I mean, oh, my God, one thing after another, all at the same restaurant.
All right. Well, there's so many things to try and parse this. Firstly, the people you're dealing with probably don't make the rules in any way, shape, or form. So you really wonder what management is, because that's who's guiding them. But you're certainly right that they're trying to make do with fewer employees everywhere. Now, my favorite is you pull into the drive-thru and you get the automated message saying, "Are you going to use your app today?"
Yes.
Well, I always say expletive no, and you can fill in the expletive. But I figure in case they're recording it, they'll get a nice four-letter word from me, and it ain't food. All right. So, So blank no. And that will get somebody's attention. But yeah. Now, the one I hate more than anything, ran into it again earlier today, is when they mix up Diet Coke and regular Coke.
Yes.
Yeah, I despise that because I just will not drink the Diet Coke. I just won't. And so it is that I'd say, one out of five times they mix it up. And you look at it and you know what they're doing is they're pre-filling out the glasses, which of course means the ice is going to melt in them anyway. They're not going to be carbonated enough by the time they're done with this. But they got a whole group of them, and then they mix up what they got. Now, I know, but we used to say, well, you get what you pay for, but that's no longer true because fast food is a friggin' fortune. Now I love the quote-unquote meal deals, which wind up sometimes being exponentially cheaper if you're willing to, say, take their four McNuggets than if you ordered the sandwich individually. So,
right.
So I said to John, just go ahead and get the meal deal and throw the nuggets out. It's the same sandwich. So, yeah. What can I tell you? But, and people will ultimately vote. It's truly a democracy. They'll vote with their wallets. And so as the prices go up and the service goes down, they're going to see the difference.
Oh, yeah. And then I asked to speak to the manager. I didn't know who was there. Oh, by the way, did I tell you they were cleaning the floor? I says, well, can you come check the pop machine and the napkins?
Right.
Well, so-and-so's cleaning the floor, so it'll be a while. And I never did get a set of napkins.
Did you ever get the manager though?
Yes, I did.
Okay.
And I says, okay. I says, what's going on here? Well, I don't know if it's a rule or a law. Well, we don't fill the machines after a certain time.
Like, no, okay, there's no rule or law. It's for their convenience. All right. So you got your answer, but the poor schlub who's taking your order, who is just mystified by all of it, that guy or gal is absolutely not in charge. They're doing what they're told. So the bottom line is that that's a management failure and a colossal one. So don't go back. Go somewhere else.
So that's a good idea. So what I did, the four cheeseburgers with ketchup, I took two of them, left them, two of them there, and I took the plain ones home. So he took off the ones that I didn't want off for the price.
Oh, absolutely. I wouldn't stand for that 1 minute. You betcha they will. Yeah.
And you probably don't want to know the name of the place, but I can tell you the building is all white.
Yeah, it doesn't matter because they're pretty much all created equal. And again, it would probably vary location by location. One of them might have one of them might have a great manager and you have a good experience.
Yes.
But I try not to beat up on the help because, again, they're usually not in charge. And many of them are also just not in a position to really think on their own. I hate to say that, but they don't. And so I'm not going to beat up people who are in that position. But the management, that person should hang for it.
Well, I didn't give the employee a hard time.
Yeah.
I kind of was annoyed with the manager.
Like, yeah, exactly.
What kind of management is this?
Yeah. Yeah, well,
I think I will not go to that location.
Right,
anymore.
Bad management. And then it gets down to, is it a franchise or is it company owned? Because that can make a difference, too.
Oh, yeah.
So but no, you'll vote with your dollars and you'll go elsewhere.
Yes.
All right.
Well, thanks, Raleigh. You're great as always. Have a great weekend.
Good to talk to you. Thanks. Appreciate it.
All right. Take care.
All right. So 888-876-5593 is 8888 Raleigh, and Jan is in Dallas. What's up, Jan?
Oh, hello. I want to ask if you could tell me a little bit about Anita Kerr singers.
Yeah, there were background vocalists. They put some stuff out. In fact, one thing, the Little Dippers version of Forever, that's actually the Anita Kerr singers. But she made the bulk of her money as a background singer. She was from, I think she was from Memphis, and she married Al Kerr, and he got a job on the radio in Nashville, and so Nashville they go. And she, you know, she started pounding the pavement and had about three other people that she got together to form a little group, and she did background stuff.
Mm. I just love her singing with the group.
Yeah. Well, no, I mean, and she worked a lot. I mean, in the 60s, she was probably doing 8 sessions a week, you know. So in other words, that's 3 days a week she's doing 2 sessions, and the other 2 days a week she's doing 1 session. That's a lot of work. And, you know, she was a favorite by everybody. Owen Bradley, who was a very big deal, when she got to town, originally signed her to Decca. And the reality came in short order that they did very well as background singers. And so whether it was Eddie Arnold or Ernest Tubb, they were doing everything. Mm. And, you know, she was on Arthur Godfrey's Talent Scouts for a while, too. She'd fly to New York and do that. But, you know, so what? But the background vocals were the thing, like Patsy Cline stuff and Jim Reeves stuff and all that. And, you know, Chet Atkins used her all the time. And, you know, she wound up recording. In fact, CSAC did a deal, the Performing Rights Society out of Germany, that probably is only big in the United States, in Nashville. But they gave the Anita Kerr singers a deal with CSAC where they put about 60 tracks out. And but in 1960, that's when they were the Little Dippers as Forever. And that was a hit, actually. And they signed with RCA, and, you know, I don't know that it mattered. But the real thing was the Nashville background singing. I mean, she was just huge. And, I mean, she won a Grammy for Best Performance as a Vocal Group. I think it was some album about Henry Mancini. But when it comes to the Nashville lead, I don't care if it's Hank Snow or Brenda Lee or Pat Boone or Rosie Clooney, you name it, she was behind all of them. And so that was the deal. And then there were those albums she did for RCA Camden. Camden was RCA's budget label, and they had the Living Voices. That was the Living Voices were Anita Kerr, and so that was the deal. And she toured Europe, I think, with Bobby Bear and some others, and all that kind of stuff. And she did radio station jingles too. In fact, the KMPC jingles were Gene Autry jingles, and you know, the WLS jingles before they were Top 40 were Anita Kerr jingles. So yeah.
My goodness, I've always loved them, and I heard her group sing. The words to Taps.
Uh-huh.
And they did that so beautifully. And thank you for letting me know more about them that I didn't know before.
Well, when you're talking about cats and all that, she and Al divorced. And when they divorced, she moved to L.A. So she would have done that in Los Angeles, not Nashville. But they did a number of things, you know, from L.A., a lot of things. And it would have been that they were the, you know, she was the choral director for the Smothers Brothers TV show. You know, what I mean? I know. But I think just the first season. But she did a collaboration with Rod McEwen. You know, stuff like that. So, I mean, you know, there's a lot of stuff out there after Nashville. Of course, after Nashville, you know, I kind of lose track of that. But she married some rich guy, and I think he was European. But anyway, she wound up moving to Switzerland, and I think she died there, but was like 95 years old. It wasn't you know, it was a life well lived. But yeah, that I think his name was like Grobe or something. But anyway, I'm pretty sure he was wealthy.
Wow.
Yeah. So that was she did well. You know,
she
really
seemed like a lovely person.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I never heard a bad thing about her. And but I never heard that much about her, you know, other than, of course, a volume of work. You know, I mean, they were working. But yeah, when she moved to Switzerland, I that was probably in the 70s. I mean, you know, yeah, it was that long ago. But she wound up selling a studio to Queen, you know, the rock group.
Oh.
Yeah, so. And that had to be the 70s as far as that. And I think she was on TV over there, and she did gospel, In fact, she was on Word. I think she got Grammy nominations for that. I don't know. Mm-hmm. And yeah, she did a number of things, but really an absolute working musician.
Mm. Oh, that's just wonderful information. Thank you so much.
Sure, my pleasure.
Okay. You have a good evening.
You too. Okay, bye. Yeah.
Bye.
Yeah, very few people ask about Anita Kerr. Oh, Brian's a first-time caller. Hang on, Brian. We're going to get to Brian next, right here on WGN Radio. WGN Radio, I'm Raleigh James. We'll forego the bumper because Brian is a first-time caller, and we've only got a couple minutes left this half hour, and I want to get to him. So, Brian, welcome to WGN Radio.
Hello.
How are you?
Not bad. How you doing, Raleigh?
All right. So, tell me what's going on.
Oh, not much. Just wanted to thank you for being on the radio and talking to people late at night like me, and I enjoy listening to you and all the different things you guys talk about, and your music, your whatever else you guys talk about.
Well, I'm delighted you called.
Yeah. I wanted to thank you for helping me through a lot of tough times I've had going on, and I can always depend on, you know, whatever times you guys are on. I can't remember the times, but late at night, you know, I'm awake.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't sleep much.
You mentioned tough times. Are you on the better side of it now? Have you gotten over the hump, or are you still fighting the battles?
Still fighting the battles.
Oh, I hate to hear that. Well,
I've had some brain surgeries.
Wow.
Physically, I'm better. Mentally, I'm better. I mean, hopefully I can get better, but the doctors don't tell me much.
Well, yeah, no shock there. What kind of brain surgery?
Well, the first one was a Chiari malformation deformation.
Okay.
I don't know if I'm not even. I try to be familiar with it,
right?
But I just it's hard enough dealing with it. I don't understand it, you know?
Right, right. Well, was it a microsurgical resection? I mean, how invasive was it?
Invasive. They went in the back of my head.
Okay.
Like the back of my skull.
Yeah.
And then they did whatever they did to make my brain a little looser in the skull.
Right.
So my spinal fluid would drain down the back, you know, into my spine, actually.
Good.
Yeah. I was hoping that was good.
Yeah, but no, well, absolutely. Did they put a shunt in or something like that?
Nope.
Okay, all right.
And then I guess that didn't work quite right. So 6 months later, I kind of went on the bad side of everything. It didn't work.
Oh, jeez.
And they had to go back in for another surgery. And that's when it helped a lot.
Good.
So it went 100%. And then went back down to about 50%.
Oh. So what's the future prognosis?
We're trying to get to that.
Okay. All right.
I'm hoping there's a better brain doctor than what I'm talking to recently.
Yeah. So, yeah, it's tough. Having the right docs is a blessing, but finding them is no easy task these days. But I'm delighted to be along for the ride. You call me anytime you want.
I will. And whatever you talk about, I'm listening to. I love all your listeners and people that you talk to, especially ones that the repeat ones. Those are awesome.
Well, great. Well, now we're going to count on you being one of them, and I hope to hear from you soon.
I will.
Okay.
Play some more good old.
We'll do it. Thanks for calling, Brian.
Thank you, Brian.
All right. So we'll check out the news, then we'll check out you. We got another hour to talk. We got Jim in Richmond and Robert in Stickney. And, I think we talked to Jan and we talked to Brian. So, hey, there's a couple lines available for you. I hope you'll take one, and more requests coming up on WGN Radio. WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. Well, I think I played that a week or so ago, but maybe not. But the bottom line is it was a request that was Rita, and she didn't hear it. So if I did play it, I wanted to play it again. And hopefully she heard it this time. 1977 on Philadelphia International. All right, Jim is in Richmond. Welcome to WGN Radio.
Hi, Raleigh.
How you feeling?
Thank you for taking my call.
Always. How do you feel?
And I feel fine. I just wanted to relay some information that I got from my retina specialist.
All right.
My sister-in-law on my ex-wife's side of the family was telling me that her eyesight is failing and she can't drive at night anymore.
Right.
So I said I would talk to my retina guy and see what he can do because she has no insurance.
Right. We talked about that.
And her husband has the insurance, right. But he has brain cancer.
Right.
So I talked to him, and he gave me an answer. But all I thought about for the last 2 days is that woman that called in. I don't know her name, but she was saying that she can't get anything from her doctors. All she gets is these drops, and she can't see. She has to find her way down the hallways. Do you remember?
Yeah, I think actually that was Linda in Richmond Park.
Oh, good. That's who I thought it was. So for Linda in Richmond Park, this is what my retina specialist said you should do. You should go to the emergency room at Strogers Cook County Hospital, and they have the greatest ophthalmology department. And when you go there and tell them what you have, and they can put you in touch with the ophthalmology department, and they... Like he says, they're the greatest in the state.
All right. All right.
And that's what I wanted to pass on. And I want to do something for people who've been helping me.
Well, and I understand that. But what we want is you to concentrate on you. And we've talked a lot about
that. Working.
Yeah.
I'm doing great. I'm working on that.
Okay.
And I just listen to everything. I want to help.
Yeah, I understand. I do understand. But like I say, right now, everybody's rooting for you. And what they really want is for you to start making better strides on accessibility and all those things we've talked about. And that will be a help. So that's what you're right. that's what you're in charge of doing.
But Linda, see if this can help you.
All right. Well, good deal, and thanks for the advice. Yeah, Stroger is a great hospital, and that's probably a good idea. A lot of people don't think about the emergency rooms, but that can sometimes cut through a lot of red tape. So good deal.
He said you have to go through the emergency room in order to get to the ophthalmology department.
Right,
and he said that it's the best in the state.
Well, that's terrific. All right, so it's a little out of the way, but not terribly. It's off of 290. All right, good deal.
Okay.
All right, thanks, and take care of yourself, and let us know.
Okay.
All right, good deal. So, yeah, how about that? So, yeah, it's on Ogden Avenue, and heard good things about Stroger. So, yeah, I really hadn't been that familiar with, using the emergency rooms that way. But recently I had another friend who got the same kind of advice saying, hey, you just go there, you explain exactly what it is, and you're going to get into places you otherwise wouldn't get into. And it worked. So, there you have it. So, John Stroger Hospital of Cook County, 1969 West Ogden. All right, so 888-876-5593. We have Robert in Stickney. What's up tonight, Robert?
Yeah, you know what? I just want to thank you for, I'll be brief. I know there's a lot of callers tonight, but I'd like to thank you for playing that Just Out of Reach of My 20 Arms.
Oh, good. Was that you who requested it?
Yeah.
Okay, good.
Yeah,
good.
Yeah, and... And I've got one more for probably next week.
Okay.
Marilyn McCoo. It wasn't as big as One Less Bell, but it was a pretty good hit. It was called If I Could Reach You.
Yes, sure.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And I just like to echo all the accolades and that many of the other callers have been, tell you. You're really an oasis in the world of radio broadcasting.
You're very kind. Well, we just try to forget the world for 3 hours and otherwise have a good time. And it works when a lot of people call. And when I'm talking to myself, I'm not that happy about it.
Yeah.
All right.
Okay, then.
Well, thanks. Appreciate it.
Surely.
All right. So good to hear from Robert. Yeah, because, it's the kind of thing that if this was a political show, I could go on ad nauseum, but we're intentionally staying away from that because there's so much of that everywhere that this is your three-hour respite from anything that really matters. Other than you, of course, we want to hear what's going on with you personally. No doubt about that. But the rest of the world, oh, man, and there's so many stories, believe me. But we ignore them all and just have a good time. So Tubby is in Chicago. Welcome back to WGN Radio.
How you doing, Raleigh?
All right. How about yourself, Tubby?
I'm not bad. Look. Good. I hope you're feeling better because you sure sound perfect tonight.
Oh, good. Good. Well, we got air conditioning back at the place we're moving out of, so that was good. I could pack today, and it wasn't over 100 degrees inside. So that was very nice.
Oh,
I was very pleased.
Yeah, that is nice.
Yeah.
I want to, before I forget, I didn't call. I get in late oftentimes. I've said that before. Mm. And so then I like to listen to what people are saying and sharing. But that guy you had on, you were talking about playing all that music earlier this week. What is his name? Tom Lehrer? What was his name?
Oh, yes, absolutely. Tom Lehrer. And he was...
How do you spell his last name?
L-E-H-R-E-R.
Okay, because they had some other stuff in there when I put it in my phone. Yeah, that way I can go back.
Yeah, L-E-H-R-E-R. And he was very active from the 50s, really through the 60s, and then just stopped entirely. But there are so many things that are hilarious that he did.
Yeah, it's just so, you're so edifying. When you got a lot of stuff in you, and then other people come in, and they chime in, and they share. And before I forget, yes, Jim and James, and Linda and everybody, Fran, everybody, and everybody, but yeah, I was hearing. I love to hear the encouragement. I feel like he's got the He's got the wherewithal. He's in the game.
Yeah.
And he needs to keep himself, always remind himself to stay in the game. And he sounds like he's really committed more so ever than when I've listened to him before.
Yeah.
And keep it up, baby, because you're sounding good.
Yeah, I agree. You know, yeah.
And he's more focused. You know, he's had the families and the sisters-in-laws and the aunties and then everybody having problems. But he really sounds committed to what you had shared with him. And, yeah, we all appreciate each other. And that's really the great thing.
Yeah.
But like when you were too on consumer stuff, it ain't getting no better out there.
Oh,
and
so
I just want to say, then I don't care about 5 inches because I don't have the paper bags because I got stamps. You know what I'm saying? But the issue is, you know, they're making everything less. And they're making stuff cheaper.
Oh, yes.
And that's why I had gone down the line about when, you know, when the first time we got hit with this stuff, this was before COVID.
Right.
And, you know, the bottoms of the jars. You can see the arch in the peanut butter jar if you look at the bottom.
Mm-hmm.
And then they're putting less and stuff. And I used to get these peanuts. They're not cleaning them like they used to. You know, they're not taking that brown stuff off. And it goes on down the line. And people kind of get fed up, even though we live privileged in America, okay? People kind of get fed up when they work hard and they go to work every day. And they don't feel like they're getting a fair shake in the long run when it's work environments, things like that. I'm always talking to young people about, you know, work environments. It's not, you know, yeah, you want to make a living and stuff. And I also want to put in a prayer. I've been praying for these people in California. I know they heads are still messed up. It's not like, well, I got some money. I can just go and live somewhere. They have to whole resettle in their brain their whole life. Okay?
Yeah.
That's just like, I mean, that kind of loss. People, I don't think they, until you, yeah, there's material parts to it. When you just lose total property and everything, and you just, it's a whole thing that you got to work through to get back just to stay in the game. So I continue to keep them in my prayers and everybody else who go through natural disasters on a daily basis because, you know, I don't come home and just, come in my apartment and take it for granted. And I told you I was homeless for 5 years. I don't take none of this for granted. And for a long time, I was afraid I'd come home and my building would have burnt down or something like that. It's very traumatic for people. So we must continue to lift each other up. And I just want to tell you that you sounded good. I'm listening to your little music. I'm appreciating you just like everybody else, okay?
Thank you.
And we appreciate each other. Everybody, thanks for chipping in on this. And he just sounds good. Yeah, but he has to be. Because I tell you this one thing, young man. After you give up on yourself, all the help that people, you know, invested in you and the care, it will dwindle quickly.
Right.
If you lose your own determination, people will say, well, I'm going to move on to the next one. But we love you and we care.
Absolutely.
Everybody. Nice weekend. I love you all.
All right. Thanks. Appreciate it, Tubby.
Sure.
Yeah, that's
okay.
Absolutely true. And I think that we are seeing Jim rise to the occasion, and it's tough all the way around. But he will stay on it, and we will hear good things. I can't wait for when he manages to adopt some of the independence things and is able to do more things for himself that he never thought he could. So that'll be interesting. All right, so we'll get to Chris in Greenwood. There will be room for you. I mentioned today, it's the 31st of July, and Mercury is Kazemi. And you're saying, what are you talking about now? All right, well, you probably know we're in the middle of a Mercury retrograde. And it started on the 17th of July, and it will go direct on the 11th of August. And again, Mercury does not back up. It's apparent retrograde, the way from our perspective on Earth. And that's true for all the planets. They from time to time look like they're going backward. And they're not, but they look that way. And so astrologically, we don't talk about many of the other planets when they go retrograde. And it can have an effect, but Mercury is the big deal because it's infamous for ruling technology and communication and travel. And so, you know, like I always say, it's not when Delta's going to crash, it's when they're going to lose your luggage. So it's not, you know, it's not when that contract is going to bankrupt you, but it's when, man, you just shouldn't have signed it, that kind of a thing. And so the sign that that it's in can have an effect on your own astrological chart, and we won't go into that. But while Mercury in Leo, and Leo, of course, is a fire sign, so there's flair and there's all that stuff. But for all the outward activity that Leos are so well known for, when it's retrograde, that turns it somewhat inward in terms of how you're expressing yourself. But Kazemi is a deal when Mercury is conjunct with the Sun, which is exactly where we are right now on the 31st. And so that makes things more potent. And so consequently, today was the day that Mercury was Kazemi. So astrologers were all kind of looking, oohing and eyeing about, you know, what the effect would be. Probably the only effect is it gives me something to talk about on the radio. I think beyond that, probably nothing. But if you so believe in it, you probably already know that. The signs that are going to be affected the most by this, because it's Leo, are Leo, Gemini, and Virgo, as far as that. And the actual Kazemi only lasts a few hours, and we're past it now anyway. But that's the big deal. So Mercury, Kazemi, and what does it mean when it's in Leo and an exact conjunction? Well, I love when they say it has us leading with our hearts. And all I can think about are the wonderful words to Elephant Walk, right? Right. In fact, when I saw that headline earlier, Mercury has us leading with our hearts, I said, when your stomach speaks, you forget your mind. When your mind speaks, you forget your heart. But when your heart speaks, you forget everything. All right, so Donald Jenkins, I'm not. 888-876-5593. Any questions? I didn't think so. We'll get to Chris, and hopefully there's room for you, too, because we got another more than another half hour to prattle on about virtually anything coming up on WGN Radio. WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. Yes, Chuck Mangione. So twisted my arm and said, you got to play something. So yeah, how about the theme from the 1980 Olympics? Give It All You Got, 1979 on A&M, but I don't remember who specifically asked for that. But nonetheless, we just did. And rest in peace, Chuck. So yeah, far too many passings. We'll pick it up next hour. And one more thing on Mercury being Kazemi is that in this muddled period of Mercury retrograde, when you have that Kazemi moment where Mercury's conjuncting the Sun, that may be the only clarity you get during the period. So for 3 or 4 hours, suddenly the light dawns and things make sense. Yeah, then it goes back to being a Mercury retrograde where everything is finorked. All right, that's the deal. I don't know if that's good news or bad. We'll talk to Chris, we'll talk to you, and we'll play more of your requests coming up on WGN Radio.
So live it in peace, live it in truth, live it in love,
live it in love, live it in love.
should live each day like it's your last one. You take control of your emotions, all your doubts and fears, and just laugh at the world and all its sadness, and replace joy for those salty, bitter tears. Oh, you've got one life to live, so give it your all, give it a lot, give it your best shot,
give it your best shot.
And then you greet every day with a little love in your heart. You go and do all the things you desire, all the things you dream of. Because today is the beginning of a brand new life. You have to fail sometimes in order for you to succeed. You got
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James, and that, of course, is Lou Rawls, and it was Herb and Elgin who wanted us to play that particular song. And, of course, Stacy in Algonquin often requests Lou Rawls no matter what we play. So two birds with one stone there. 1978 Philadelphia International was actually the flip side. All right, so 888-876-5593, 8888-Raleigh. Chris is in Greenwood. Welcome to WGN Radio.
Hello, Raleigh. How's it going with you?
All right. How about yourself, Chris?
Going good.
Good.
I just want to give a birthday shout out to my friend Roy Young. Her birthday was yesterday, July the 31st.
Okay. And it's still July 31st in many places, so she's still having a birthday somewhere.
Yep. She had a fantabulous birthday.
All right.
Yeah, and I can't wait for football season to start, too, coming up.
Yeah?
Yeah, but today I talked about, like, high school football being on, like, at nighttime on some AM stations.
Uh-huh.
And one of the guys, I called in one of the local sports shows, and one of the guys said, you got to have an appeal for the SEC to stay at full power on the games, and after the game goes off, you set it down.
No. Absolutely not. If you're talking about AM, if AM power is reduced at local sunset, it doesn't matter if a game is on or not.
Oh.
Trust me.
Yeah, because...
No. Remember, the reason that for the power differences has to do with what other stations are on the frequency and affected by it. So just because you're running play-by-play of football, you don't get to have higher power because of that. Who told you that?
I'll tell you this. It's called the Lakeland Sports Guys on 1090 WCZZ.
Well, whoever they are, I hope they thought they were joking, because it's not true.
So you don't have to have an appeal for the SEC.
Firstly, you cannot differentiate from your licensed power. If you are lower power at night or directional at night, you've got to do it. It doesn't matter what you're programming.
Yeah, because unlike 1450 in my area, they got Emerald High School football, go Vikings, and they have Clemson football.
At 1450, they're 1,000 watts day and night, so they never vary on that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's the way they're licensed. So there's no change from day to night on 1450. Because it's a class 4 frequency, used to be called that. They don't call that anymore, but that's what it is. So, you know, if you have a station that is powering down at sunset, or, you know, or changing directions, it doesn't matter what the heck you're broadcasting. You don't get to say, oh, but we're covering something important, so we get more power. No. I don't know what kind of Kool-Aid they're drinking, but no. Absolutely not.
Yeah.
That's hilarious, though. I can only imagine the look on the faces of FCC employees if someone actually wrote them and asked for that. That'd be almost as good as many years ago. This is going back about 50 years ago. But there was literally a guy in Indiana who sent a postcard to the FCC saying, I'm putting on a radio station here, thought you might like to know. Needless to say, they got a quick response. No, you're not.
Yeah, but unlike me, because I listen to the football games, but I go to Emerald games in person and listen to play-by-play.
Okay.
Like, one time, they play, like, on the outskirts of Greenwood County, mm-hmm. like, either Ware, Shelby, mm-hmm. I listened to the AM part of it, and when it got darker, the AM faded out, and you could, like, it comes in and out and overlap stations pop over.
Well, they probably lowered their power. And that would be what their license called for. But many people, by the way, who go to games listen to the radio for play-by-play. Radio play-by-play is much preferable to television play-by-play because there are no pictures. Consequently, they have to be better described with words, and they are.
Uh-huh.
Sure.
Yeah, because you could take, like, your transistor radio with you to the football games and listen to them at the stadium.
Yes, of course. People do it all the time. And as I say, the reason they do that is because the radio broadcast is going to be much richer and more robust with anecdotes and stories and coverage because they don't have pictures.
Yep. You can see the picture in front of you and you can hear the talk.
That's exactly right. You didn't discover anything new.
Yeah, because I started doing that like back in 2014,
okay.
Well, like listen to the play-by-play and go into the games.
Mm-hmm.
I went to the game like 3 years ago and listened to it on 105.5 The Roar on FM, and it was a day game.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah, but you know, like if college football, whether it's a day or night game, in the daytime you can hear it clear as a bell, but at nighttime it fades out and fuzzes out, and it just like goes
right
in and out. You hear that.
Of course. There's two reasons for that. One is, of course, if the station is licensed to have a differentiation in power, they may have less power at night or be directional at night. But the other reason, of course, is when you're dealing with nighttime AM, you're dealing with the effect of the ionosphere layer. So some stations are going to come in like gangbusters, and other stations that you're hearing clear as a bell in the day, you're not hearing at night, of course. That's very common.
Yeah, unlike CRS-1450, you can... Like you barely hear like overlapping stations, especially if you're in Troy, which is in Greenwood County.
Yes, of course, but you see, 1450, former Class 4 frequency, has a lot more radio stations licensed to 1450 than, say, 720. So when you're talking with those, 1,000-watt stations, they used to be 1,000-watt day, 250-watt night, but there's a glut of radio stations on them. So, yes, they're licensed tight. They're licensed close together, and you hit it at night, and you're not going to get that coverage, of course.
Yeah. What about 1240 in Newberry, WKDK?
Yeah, 1240 is also a Class 4 frequency. 1,000-watt day, 1,000-watt 24 hours a day. And they don't call them Class 4 anymore, but that's what they are. Where, like I say, there's a lot of stations. 1240 is very crowded.
Yeah, because I tried listening to a game on KDK, one of the Newberry college games. Like, it was during the summertime, and it faded out.
Yeah.
And you couldn't hear it anymore.
Of course.
Yeah, so if it was like FM, it'd be a different story.
Well, yes and no. It depends. I mean, FM has its issues too, but FM is line of sight. So when you're talking about the daytime, AM is probably going to travel a lot further than FM. But if you're talking about something that is within the FM 60 dB contour, it's going to be the same day and night.
Uh-huh. Like 95.7, is that... line of sight.
Yeah, anything on FM is line of sight. That's the way FM works. AM is not. And so consequently you've got the ionosphere layer in play at night.
Yeah, it's very sensitive and you can hear the lightning strike too
of course.
A storm is
right. And that
crack.
That has to do with the fact that it's medium wave, of course. You're also going to lose it when you go under a bridge. you know, things like that. There's all sorts of things. But
or if you're near a microwave.
Well, right. And that's all the RF problems that we've talked many times, that things are acceptable at RF levels that are going to kill AM, and no one seems to care.
Uh-huh. Yeah, because unlike WGNE, I don't hear high school football on Friday night.
Well, you're never going to hear it on a station like WGN. I mean, it wouldn't make sense.
You know, or WSB in Atlanta.
Yeah, of course not. You'll never hear it. Firstly, all right, let's talk about dollars here. You're only going to hear high school play-by-play on small market radio stations, because anybody who has large market coverage is going to lose money by doing that. It's a small market ball game when you're talking about high school sports.
Yeah.
There's no,
because high school sports is local.
Yeah, it's very local, and it doesn't bring in much revenue. In fact, the biggest revenue is usually the businesses that are owned by the parents of the kids who were on the teams.
Yeah, and NFL, what about them?
Obviously, if you've got a winning team, there may be a reason you want to carry that. But remember, when you are, and you're not making a deal with the NFL, you're making a deal with the individual team. But when you do that, it can work in a number of ways. But for the most part, you're paying for the rights. Now, that's a very interesting question. Is it worth what they're charging for you to carry it? And there are many stories of stations like WCBM in Baltimore that actually went dark. They lost so much money because they won the bid for the Orioles, but they won it at a price that was fatal to them. So part of it is also, what is it going to cost you to carry the game?
Yeah, because, you know, airing sports on the radio is not cheap.
Well, it depends. Again, it depends. The agreements are different. And in some cases, the station may actually own the right to run the network for the team. And then that's a whole different ballgame than if they're just carrying it as an affiliate of the team. There's all sorts of different things that go on in that. But clearly, it is an economic situation where you can't just dismiss it out of hand and say it'll work or it won't work. You've got to investigate all of it.
Mm-hmm. Like, so, if you air Atlanta Braves, you got to air every game.
No, that's not necessarily true. That's not necessarily true. And this comes into play when a station will carry multiple teams, multiple sports, and they'll get some conflicts where there'll be two different teams are playing at the same time. Maybe one's basketball and one's baseball, or one's hockey and one's, you know, like that. And so when that happens, you have to, and beforehand you've made arrangements for that, you have other stations that are going to pick up those games. And, you know,
right.
College or pro may be very good for a station, or may not. It depends upon the contract.
Yeah, because you ever heard of the USC Game Chickens, or Game Cocks, like I call them? I call them Game Chickens.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, their first game was on a Sunday afternoon. And some of these small-town radio stations, they're going to air gospel no matter what. And I think the first they got the contract there, I'm probably going to opt them out, or they're going to play the
Well, no, let's face it. If you're a radio station, you've elected to take games that are going to basically occur on Sunday. You know that in advance. And so you're going to clear them, or you wouldn't agree to carry them.
Yeah.
You know, it's not like a blue moon occurrence. There'll be a lot of games that are played at the same time. And if the station is normally not wanting to run that programming, why would they bid for some rights? You know, why would they do that? So it's not magic. What? Yes, that's right. Most games, college, most games are on Saturday, just like pro, most are on Sunday.
Uh-huh.
Of course.
Yeah, which is a lot for the USC, because I looked at their schedule. The first game is on Sunday, the 31st.
Uh-huh.
And ours on Clemson, Go Tigers, is on the 30th, uh-huh, which is a Saturday.
All right.
Yeah.
Well, that's standard everywhere, that college is usually Saturday and pro is usually Sunday.
Uh-huh. Yeah, and pro, like, you know, like Westwood One, they carry, like, the NFL games of the week at times at night. like on NBC if it's Sunday night football or Monday night football, but the regional coverages they don't carry. But if it's on Fox or CBS.
Yeah. All right.
Yep.
Well,
that's all I got to say.
Enjoy your upcoming football season.
Oh, yeah. I'll keep in touch with you.
All right. Look forward to it. Thanks. All right. Okay, bye. All right, so there you have it. 888-876-5593-8888. Raleigh, we'll get to James on the south side. Stacy's in Algonquin, and there'll be probably no room for you. I don't know. It's Thursday night, so tomorrow night's a replay of Monday Night Trivia from last night. I believe there is a straggler. Don't hold me to it, but I think there is. And so you might want to check that out, because the next live trivia is Monday night. All right, we've got a few moments, though, and we're going to spend them wisely, I hope, on WGN Radio. WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. Those are the Thompson Twins. Lay Your Hands on Me, 1984 Arista. And I don't know who subjected me to that. I don't remember who requested it. But I sure hope they're listening, because God knows I didn't play it for myself. All right, so Stacy is in Algonquin. Welcome to WGN Radio. Hey, Stacy.
Hi.
How are you?
Okay. Are you feeling better?
Yes and no, but thanks for asking. How about yourself?
Hanging in there.
Good.
That was a very nice Lou Rawls song.
Oh, good.
Nice.
One Life to Live, yes. Yeah, Herb requested that. Glad you liked it.
Yeah. And, but you're getting better, though, and you and John feel okay?
Well, you know, I mean, let's put it this way. Our lives are chronic but not acute. So, you know, that's pretty much the way it is.
We're all hanging in there.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, you know, we're all circling the drain at this stage of life, so we might as well just relax and try to enjoy it.
Right, and I just wanted to call and wish you and John well. You stay well and happy.
Too.
And I had a call and just tell you to have a fabulous weekend.
Well, thank you.
And I'll touch base with you next week.
Yeah, maybe trivia.
Oh, yeah. And I like that. What is that, five?
Oh,
second
yeah, 5 by 5. You got to get 4 out of 5 right of common questions. Yes, and that was Laura's idea, and a great one it was.
Oh, that is, that is.
Yeah.
But I shall let you go, and you just have a fabulous, fabulous weekend.
Well, you too.
Well,
you too.
And I'll talk to you soon.
Okay, thanks, Stacey. Appreciate the call.
Okay.
All right. Bye. So, good deal. So, yes, indeed. We'll be packing to move from one location to another. Yeah, that'll be ongoing. But the good news is it'll be over by the end of the month because we've given notice that we're exiting one place. And, you know, there's four locations involved in this. So it's not as simple as just move out of one and move into another. Yeah, it's logistics and not necessarily our strong suit. So James on the south side's closing it out. You got about a minute. James, go for it. James. Well, James doesn't want his minute. He had a request, too, and something he forgot. Oh, wait a minute. I just heard somebody. Okay, well, James, you got to call back quickly. Otherwise, you have to call back on Monday, well, for trivia, and then on Tuesday for whatever it was. But, yes, when your time comes, yes, jump in there fairly quickly. All right, so I guess pretty much that's a wrap. We thank Adam for keeping us on the air and John for screening your calls, but above all, I thank you for calling, which is what makes the show a pleasure to do. We'll reconvene live on Monday, tomorrow night, a replay. So until then, well, I'm Raleigh James. It's WGN Radio.